I'm thinking about opening a restaurant to promote my G-Wine label. So you wanted to talk to me about what?
We're here to destroy your human cloning laboratory.
Claudia, you of all people. How dare you betray me?
You're playing God.
God. Yes. Because I'm the key to life. I guess you could call me the living God. Why do you think I'm called Dr. G?
We're doing prick flicks. We're doing prick flicks. We watch bad movies and try to fix it. Welcome to prick flicks.
What's up, everybody?
Oh, beforehand, I want to say happy Valentine's Day. This is the Valentine's Day episode. So
yeah.
Having a lot of good times, good loves. We're enjoying yourself, I suppose. But we watched a movie that has, would you call it a romantic subplot?
You know what? There's an attempt at romance. You know, they tried something. I don't know if it actually is romance, but you know, it's something.
It's close enough, yeah.
You could call it romance, I guess. Yes, the movie was called Replica, correct?
Replica, yeah. By the famous, or maybe infamous, director James Wan, who made Birdemic Shock and Terror, but also has a little bit of a backlog of some other movies that are lesser known, including Julie and Jack, his first film, and this movie, Replica, which was originally made in 2005, and man, oh man, do you know it was made in 2005, but then was kind of held off on being released until the recent resurgence of his work through Riff Tracks. We didn't do Riff Tracks. We actually sat through the movie by ourselves, so you're welcome.
Paid $8 for that thing.
Oof. Yeah, that's right. You can't get a hold of it unless you're willing to pay $8.
Man, it was
to
worth
Riff Tracks.
Worth every penny.
James Wan, if you're out there, man, like, I would buy it from you. You had it somewhere. I would totally buy it from you. I want to know that you're getting paid for the hard work you put into this movie.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. but yeah, I mean, I guess one of the more interesting, I don't want to say interesting, I guess a good starting point, like before we even get into the topic, is that this movie, like how Birdemic was based off of Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, this movie was based off of Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo. Well, I mean, it's based off of Vertigo, whatever it feels like being based off of Vertigo. And then not the rest of the time. The rest of the time, it's a whirlwind of activity. But there are some scenes in this movie that are shot-for-shot replicas of... I did the thing!
Got him!
of the classic scenes from Vertigo. So
yes.
There you go.
Yeah. Should I go straight into the plot?
I think you should do the plot. I was even just going to ask you, like, do you even, like, know what the plot was? I guess you could just copy-paste sections from the Vertigo plot somewhere.
All right. So, basically, there's two characters. One girl is a scientist. She's working for this slummy guy at this one research. There's another guy.
Dr. G.
Dr. G. It should be Dr. Gangster, but Dr. G's close enough.
Dr. Gangster.
Dr. Gangster. And the girl is this beautiful blonde, and she works at, you know, the science lab, and they're trying to do research for, you know, making replicas of things. And one of their patients was... So his name is Joe, and he's the top salesman, and he's doing really well. And, you know, he's on cloud nine, and he's doing really great. Time goes by about 6 months later and he's struggling a little bit. He's not doing so well. He's kind of like thinking about why that's not going so well. He's thinking maybe like it's had to do something with my kidney transplant thing. I don't know. But then one day he's, you know, by the Golden Gate Bridge and his girl is walking by, you know, not even walking by, doing this slight jog. And he's like, you know what? Ultimate Chad zone. I'm just going to stare at this girl the whole time. And then once she walks by, I'm going to be like, hey, yo, girl, in the most 2005 way ever. Hey, girl, without you in my life, I'm nothing. You want to go on a date? Because you're super hot. And she's like, I don't know.
And she's like, no. No, she says no.
No. And then he proceeds to follow her while she's jogging in his car. Like, a foot away. And then the best part of the movie is... Okay, not the best part of the movie. One of the best parts of the movie is the fact that he's yelling, like, please go on a date with me. And, bro, it is just, like, ear rape, loud, just static noise. in your ears while he's yelling. Oh my god, you're weirdo. Come on, you're breaking my heart. And he's, and she's like, no, no. And so then he's like, right, fine. You know what I got to do now? I got to ask again. So he calls her up again and goes like, hey, man.
At her office.
At her office. She at work. And she's like, hey, I need to get back to work. And he's like, look, my heart hurts. Can you help me replace it with your
Give
love?
Give me a better heart.
Yeah, I'm heartless, man. And she's like, okay, I guess. And so then they go on a date, and it's as awkward as you can think.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's cringy. It's super, super tough. They go to this restaurant. They have this conversation, just basically talking about work and how he's like, I'm not as good as I once was. And she's like, well, I can fix that. And then they keep dating, and all of a sudden, boom, they're on the beach. They're just, you know, they're just boinking each other, just boop, you know, just, I don't know. I don't know what you want to call it. Running on the beach, doing shenanigans, right? And then they're on a carousel, and you're like, man, they're on a carousel. They're in love, you know. And their chemistry, let me tell you, it's the best. It's better than, like, Titanic, by far. Like, you think that's chemistry? No, this is way better.
Totally, totally appropriate for Valentine's Day. These two are, definitely standing next to each other and holding hands occasionally.
Oh, and the way they talk, oh man, you know, Shakespeare in the flesh, you know what I'm saying?
Feel love.
Anyway, so, you know, their love is really progressing, they're holding hands, and then all of a sudden, 1 second, boom! She's in a bathing suit, this guy's in a wife beater t-shirt, and you know it's about to get down, you know what I'm saying? And they got some scenes where they kiss, and look, bro, okay, this is real. They're like, this is the worst kissing I've ever seen. Like, it's just abominable. Like, close your eyes. It hurts your eyes. So, you know, they're madly in love. They have these, you know, intimate scenes. And then all of a sudden she's like, oh, he was like, hey, you know, we should hang out again. And she's like, oh my gosh, I have to make money and work. And he's like, all right, we'll have to see each other. And she's like, oh, yeah, of course. We'll see each other. We're in love. And then she leaves the house. And
you can tell when a couple's in love because they have to continually remind each other they're in love.
Yeah. Remember? We're in love. Okay.
Remember?
So she gets in the car. At first we thought that she stole his car, but apparently it's their actual car there. And so, anyway, she's driving down the road. Next thing you know, she sees another car coming at her at 2 miles per hour. Not even joking.
2 miles an hour. Just rolling. Slowly.
She throws her hands up. Next thing you know, scene ends.
Slams on the brakes. The car is like, what, 10 feet away from her, still rolling slowly. She has her brakes down. Her hands go up.
Yep.
Oh, no. Cut to, she's dead.
She died, bro. She died. And so homies send the flowers. Homie's going through it. He lost his girlfriend. Detective Lay, he's there. Excellent line reading by him, though. Oscar worthy, I gotta say. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody's Oscar worthy in this movie.
Yes. So he's asking questions. He's like, hey, yo, like, y'all were in love. Y'all sleep together. Yada, 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 whatever. And he's like, why are you asking
We
those?
Found your what? Semen inside of her when we were doing the autopsy.
It's like, yo. It's like, okay, bro. Like, that's a something else. Okay, all right. So, and homie's like, well, yeah. You know, Joe thinks it's a slight flex. You know what I'm saying? He's like, yeah, well, I might have did it. I might have not. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, all that to be said, he's still going through it. He's going to all the places that they used to be. He's going through the sad woes. Next thing you know, there's a girl that walks by. And he's like, hey, yo, this girl looks kind of familiar. Lo and behold, this girl looks exactly like his ex-girl who just died. And he's like, oh, you look really familiar. And that's supposed to be like the scene in Vertigo when, you know, no spoilers, but it's just like Vertigo, okay? If you haven't seen Vertigo, it's a better movie, go see it. But anyway, he's like, hey, I recognize you, and you look super familiar. And she's like, oh, that's super weird. And they have this weird conversation about how she wants to get in the movies and stuff like that, but she's not doing very well. And he's like, hey, fall in love with me because I'm lonely. And she's like, no, I don't want to. So then he follows her for a long time again and then proceeds to go, hey, maybe this is a good idea to go up to her room, her apartment room, be knock again and be like, hey, so I'm sad again. Hey, and she's like, well, I don't know, I'm bored, so I guess we'll go out. And so they start going out again. Meanwhile, Detective Captain Lee is going around asking people, you know, what's going on. Does he talk with the doctor at that point, right? Yes. And so I guess the doctor kind of explains that he really missed what's her bucket. She was like a really good worker and stuff like that. It doesn't really matter. Anyway, Joe and the replicant girl would now has brown hair. They're going on dates and, you know, they're falling in love and stuff like that. But of course, just like in Vertigo fashion, he's like, hey, I want you to look like my ex-girlfriend. And she's like, no, that's super weird, as a normal person would do.
That's right.
But he's like, no, well, I it would be right. And then she goes, well, if that would make you love me, I'll do it for you. And then, sure. Lo and behold, same scene as Vertigo. They fall in love when she magically changes into the same girl that she used to be. And then Detective Guy is interviewing her mom to get some additional information. Not really important.
Yeah, what? Never mind.
Yeah, why was that in the movie? I don't know. We'll get back to that.
I don't know.
We'll definitely get back to that. I don't know if it had anything to do with anything. Anyway, then he talks to the murder suspect. And he's like, oh, I just killed her because I was drunk. And then Detective Lee's like, hey, yo,
we found a bunch of money transferred into your account, and we also found the same amount of money in your basement. Where'd the money come from, bro?
Bro. So now the guy's like, cool. Well, I'm screwed now. Anyway, doesn't even matter. So it's just end of scene. Okay, so after that, essentially, I'm blanking. What happens after that?
Oh, that's the one where he finds the bracelet that he gave to Evelyn, who was the first girl, in Claudia, who is the second girl's jewelry case. After he picks up like her jewelry case and just like straight up drops it on the ground for no reason.
Yeah, he just straight up drops it. He's like, oh shoot, I'm a klutz. Next thing you know, boom, there's a little ring thing around her wrist that's supposed to go there. And he's like, hey, I gave that to her. And then the funniest part about it was the fact that like, he's like, who are you? And then I loved it right in there. He's like, hey, let's go to that jewelry store. And he's like, what the hell, man? Who are you? Like, out of nowhere, he just says that right away. And, he
physically grabs her and shakes her and is like, who are you? You have to tell me who you are.
Yeah, and she's like, okay, I guess I'll tell you. And then she's like, I'm a replica, and I did die, but Dr. G, bro, he brought me back to life. But I guess since that happened, it's bad. And he's like, yeah, you know, that's super bad. Like, you can't do that. But at the same time, like, it's kind of a weird thing because she wouldn't be alive if he wasn't, like, if he didn't do that. So, I don't know. Anyway, they're both like, it's time to get Dr. G. He's up to some sus biz. And so they go over to his office and the guy's like, hey, yo, Dr. G's wine is lit. Get you some Dr. G wine.
This is my new wine brand that I'm trying to promote.
He's like, anyway, how can I help you guys? And she's like, look, you brought me back to life, and that's bad. I don't know why, but it's bad. And he's like,
cloning is definitely evil.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, look, if I didn't clone you, you wouldn't be alive, stupid. And she's like, well, yeah, but yeah. And then homie's just like, look, I'm going to clone everybody, and I'm going to be God. Instead of being Dr. G, I'm Dr. God, you heard?
No, but he actually, like, makes a reference. He's like, why do you think they call me Dr. G?
Yeah!
like, this was him the whole time, I guess.
Bro is dropping mixtapes on the side. We all know it.
and making wine. Oh, man.
Dude, he's a jack of all trades, my guy. Anyway, so now Dr. G is revealed as Dr. God. And he pulls out the gun. And he's like, I'm going to shoot you. And he shoots Evelyn. She dead. And then Detective Lee comes in and shoots Dr. G dead. So we got two people dead. And he comes in there. He's like, hey, you guys all right?
Guess what? Off screen, the criminal that I was talking to confessed to literally everything. So somehow I found this secret lab. That criminal probably has no reason to know. Because that's the thing. Like, before he shoots him, he takes him down to the secret lab.
Yeah.
Which is somewhere in the building. And it's like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm cloning celebrities and I'm making people white. Because he's a racist.
Yes. He's like, why be black when you can be white? I'm like, yo.
You're like, oh, okay. That came out of very left field. But super weird. So he takes him down there, and then, the cops just shows up out of nowhere, and he's like, Yeah, by the way, off screen, I learned about this from the guy he hired, who, yeah, would totally know about the secret underground base. I don't know.
Sure. So Dr. G's dead. And you have this sweet, sorrowful scene where she's like, it was so fun to hang out with you again one more time. And Evelyn dies. And they all
well,
just...
what made it even better is, like, she didn't even say it was... She said, the reason why I found you is because I love you.
Oh, and, yeah.
And, like, that never happened. Like, she was trying to get away from him the whole time when she was Claudia. So I don't know what she's talking about.
I don't know either. It's just like, there's no reason for her not to just walk up there and be like, hi, I'm the same person, but I got cloned. Because she's aware of everything. It's not like she even learns anything new.
Oh my gosh. That was the funniest thing, because the entire time she's like, no, no, I'm Claudia. I'm an actress. I'm in Hollywood. And
yes.
And he's like, oh, and like, he's the one who feels freaky because he thinks that she looks exactly like Evelyn, but she's like a completely different person. She's from LA. She's an actress. She doesn't have any degrees as far as he knows.
Yeah.
But then right when he confronts her and she's like, I'm a clone, a replica clone of Evelyn. And later on, she says that her brain and spirit are exactly the same to Evelyn. And no point during the story does she... Okay, first of all, this amazing actress doesn't do a great job exuding a personality in either role, but the little bit of talent that she does have really proves that those two people were separate people.
That's what I'm saying. There, this tiny stark contrast is there.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to watch an idea that you know should work fail so badly. Because how does she know so much about her former self but not reveal that she is literally a carbon copy of her former self? But with like
I mean, even if she didn't want to tell him, because you saw how creeped out he got. Okay.
Yes.
What really like frustrates me about that scene is you could play it off where she's like, oh, I couldn't say that because cloning is bad, and like I was scared that like you wouldn't treat me as a person or whatever. I don't
right.
know.
Right. That's
fair. But instead she just, after he confronts her and she like kind of wiggles around a little bit, she just says really straightforwardly, I'm a clone.
Yeah.
Like it's something that you can just be. So, but if that's true, then you're right. Like, why didn't she come out and say it? But if she is hiding it, then why didn't she hide it better or seem more like she got caught in the end? It was such a defiant, I am a clone moment.
Right.
I don't get it.
He should have realized that. It had him convince her that that's the truth, not her just know that from the outset.
Yeah. I mean, you know, instead of ripping off Vertigo, they should have ripped off more of Blade Runner.
Yes, right? And, like, it has an element of that, but yeah. I mean, the problem is, in spoilers for Vertigo, like, the actress who is originally Evelyn in the beginning, I think they're the same name, actually. Which is
kind of... it's, I just looked this up because I was interested. Madeline, yeah.
Madeline, okay, it's close. Anyway,
Madeline and Judy.
Yes. So, Madeline is the blonde girl, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, Madeline's character dies in that movie, and Jimmy Stewart goes through this crazy psycho, like, PTSD
moment. Super psycho.
Yeah, and so, essentially, Jimmy Stewart, after all this time, which is established that time has gone on, unlike this movie, where it seems like a week's gone by, and a homie's already looking for a new chick, so...
Go ahead. This point,
yes.
But I really do want to talk about the timeline in a second. There is one card that tells you that something was 6 months later in the movie, and it mm-hmm. never happens again. And that is the funniest thing to me. So when he gets his kidney transplant, or the cloned kidney.
Yes.
There's 6 months, he goes back to work and he's like, hey, I'm back. And the guy's like, oh, you're our bestseller, awesome. And then it just cuts to the same establishing shot, but now it's 6 months later. And then cuts back in, and they're like, why are you failing to sell things so much? That's it. The rest of the movie, it's really hard to tell how much time has passed between literally anything that happens. But the order of events doesn't make any sense whether or not that happens. So she dies
yes.
in the car accident.
Yes.
And then the car accident, where the car slowly ran into her parked car, and she died of, I don't know, the breeze hitting her. The next scene is him taking flowers to presumably her grave. So at some point they had to find her, bury her. Must have been a couple of days. The next scene is the cop showing up at his house to ask him questions about the night she died, which was apparently the night previously, which doesn't make any sense, because when did they have time to do the autopsy and hold a funeral if it happened yesterday? And also, why is the cop showing up now? So the cop then goes to her boss, but he's already dating her at that point. So is the cop just doing one every 3 months for this particular case, or did that happen within 3 days?
Right. Why is Dr. G just letting his clone just run free? How would nobody in the world just be like, hey, you look exactly like Evelyn? I get what his goal is, but it's also really weird. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of weird. Why is she now just roaming the streets?
Well, and that's why it was so weird to me that she knew she was a clone. Because that's what didn't make sense. This was a real, there's a plot line in Spider-Man that's gotten really convoluted in the comics, but where it's literally this plot almost exactly. So you know how Gwen Stacy dies in the comics, right?
Uh-huh.
And there was apparently this teacher who was really obsessed with how brilliant she was. Mm-hmm. So he ends up cloning her and letting her kind of just walk the streets. Because he wants her to exist in the world. He was mad that her life was taken from her.
Yes.
So having her live her life is it's what he wants, essentially. Yes. So when Peter Parker starts getting too close and going, hey, you're Gwen Stacy, you're the girl that I was in love with.
Yeah.
That's what pisses him off, the guy who cloned her. Because Peter Parker's adding doubt to this person. And I felt like that's what they were trying to go for with Dr. G, because when the cop was grilling him, he was talking about how brilliant Evelyn was and saying, I wish that someone could bring her back to life because the world lost somebody important.
Right.
Which I was put a pin in that, because the clone that you made is an actress who doesn't seem to know anything about science, so you've failed that. But then in part two, when the cop comes in at the end and is going through the reasons why Dr. G got rid of Evelyn in the first place, one of the things that he mentioned was the fact that he wanted to take credit for this entire experiment himself. Which, again, it would work if he cloned her, that he wanted her to quote-unquote exist, and he cloned a not scientifically minded version of her and just let her roam the streets without her knowing, just for his own pleasure. Right. But now, she's already said she has the same mind and the same spirit. So, she knows, A, that he killed her, or he brought her back to life, B, that he fired her from the company, and when he took all the credit for what she did, she could easily come back and say, hey, actually, I did that. You know, she could do that at any time. She's a complete liability. I don't understand.
That's what I'm saying. She has complete knowledge of who she is, and yet she doesn't confront the same. Did she have amnesia for a few hours before she went back on the street? And it's just Joe is so dumb. She could go up to Joe and be like, hey, I actually didn't die. I got cloned. There's no reason to keep that secret.
Well, there's no, by the time that she finally reveals that she's been cloned,
yes,
he immediately is cloning is evil. And she's just yeah, you're right. We should probably go take out Dr. G. He's got that whole secret lab, and he stole a bunch of money that was supposed to go to research to build it. He's kind of scummy, honestly.
Right.
Just out of left field. In the last 10 minutes of the movie, this happens. She never, in her own impotence, was hey, we need to take this guy out. It was just kind of yeah, I'm an actress now or whatever, and I'm going to go hang out with my boyfriend from my previous life, but continually gaslight him into thinking I'm a different person for no reason.
I think Dr. G was hey, look, Evelyn, I think you'd be better as a struggling actress who's a little slutty and walks around with a tramp stamp. How do you feel about that?
And belly button piercing. Yeah. Oh, that's the best part. Yeah, yeah. She has a tramp stamp of her own name on her back.
That's the thing. He's like, let me tattoo this on you so you know that this is who you are now. Like, that's Dr. G's best attempt to be like, you're a different person now. Here's a tramp stamp of your own different name now.
Your own different name.
It's just crazy, man. It's just crazy. You know, I'll give it credit. There is some suspense, but the suspense just goes way down because he's like, you're not the same. You're a carbon copy. You're a phony. You know what I mean? And then she's like, actually, I'm not. I'm the same. And he's like, okay, cool. Well, shoot. Let's go take out Big Dr. G.
It's very funny because you're absolutely right. Like, when you were talking about how it's so funny how some twists and turns could work really well in one story and make absolutely no sense in another. Because, like, all of the scenes that are lifted from Vertigo make the story make less sense.
Yes.
Than if
you
didn't have them.
And it's like, I get what they're trying to do. They're in San Francisco, like, you know, obviously, like, director's inspired for Alfred Hitchcock, you know. And so it's just one of those things where it could have worked, but he didn't think it all the way through. Like, what makes Vertigo happen is the fact that even with Judy in the character, like, you're not quite convinced that that was the original girl in the first place because her disguise is kind of good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of like, oh, that has to be her, but I'm not quite sure. Like, you're not as sure as, you know, Jimmy Stewart's character is as well in the movie. But this one, you're obviously like, this is the same girl. Like, I know, like, tramp stamp, she doesn't look like, you know, the doctor before, but, like, it's pretty simple. So,
the doctor who always wore flip-flops to work.
Okay, maybe they're not so far off, you know what I'm saying? That's why she got killed. She's like, no more flip-flops for you. Like, we can't do this no more.
Well, I think that the other problem is like, in Vertigo, part of the reason why it's so trippy when you meet Judy is that, yeah, she looks like Madeline, but you already know that the main character has gone crazy. He's become obsessed with Madeline and her death and failing to save her. I just want to put like a blanket spoiler warning for Vertigo because it's going to come up a lot.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's seeing Madeline in this person, you almost are like, oh, he's just gone off the deep end. And the movie kind of plays that too. Sort of like, oh, he's seeing something that isn't there. Or, you know, he's just so hyper-focused on this event that like he can't get away from it. Instead, this movie, which gets rid of any bit of tension or anxiety or anything by just having the main character, I mean, A, be a robot, but B, never really question his own premise.
Yes. And, like, Joe's character, like, he doesn't have a greater purpose. You look at Jimmy Stewart's character, spoilers again, he's a guy who struggles with vertigo. He has PTSD, extreme PTSD. And he comes self-obsessed with this idea of who this woman is, right? And so already he has a sense of a flaw. He has a sense of a purpose, even though it's very flawed within himself. He is driven by this infatuation by this girl, right?
Yeah.
Joe doesn't have that. Joe's like, I have a quota, but I'm also like, I need some action. And that's all I'm looking for. And so,
well, and here's the funniest thing is that at the beginning of the movie, Joe gets this replica kidney and he goes back to work and all of a sudden he can no longer close deals even though he was the best salesman over there. That never gets resolved.
No, like, why? Did the kidney was just like, nope, you suck at your job now, too bad.
Like, at the barest of minimums, right, it would not be anywhere near Vertigo and, like, the haunting, not being able to prevent a suicide and all that, like being haunted by the heights and things. Yes. At the bare minimum, you could have had Joe just be down bad because he didn't have girlfriend. And then when he gets girlfriend, all of a sudden he's good salesman again. And then when he loses girlfriend, he bad salesman.
Yes.
Like, that would have been such a bare minimum thing to do.
That would have been so, it would have been so easy to do because... And the only reason you find motivation is because I've seen Vertigo and you've seen Vertigo and we know what they're trying to do. But the movie in of itself, like if I watched this movie straight up without knowing Vertigo or any of the references, I would be like, why is this happening? Like, it just, it's like the movie stops and goes, okay, look, this is right on the nose from Vertigo. For those who know it, you get, it's like not knowing the inside joke or knowing the inside joke. Like, that's how those scenes are presented. It's really kind of weird, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and I think that, like, the fact that so much of it relies on just trying to get to the next Vertigo scene makes it so much worse. And I think the only one that does slightly work is when he asks her to dye her hair.
Yes.
In order to look like Evelyn, because he is grieving his girlfriend. But the scene that shows up after that, in Vertigo, when this happens, you as the audience are very keenly aware that Jimmy Stewart's character has gone entirely off the deep end. Like, he is a mess. And this is creepy. Like, what he's doing is, like, super skeevy, super creepy. Like, it should not be happening.
Yes.
It's super uncomfortable.
Do you remember do you remember the scene in Vertigo when he's, like, forcing her to try on these clothes and, like, yelling at her, and everybody else in the room is dead silent? Like, that is so creepy. Like, it's so eerie to me, that scene.
But in this one, she, like, pretty readily, I mean, at first she's like, that's really weird, like, don't ask me to be somebody else, which, again, we'll talk about how that doesn't even make any sense with the reveal at the end, but whatever.
Yeah.
But she then later, after they are sleeping together in the week that they've known each other, I assume, because who knows how long time is.
Right.
Have you noticed the theme of, like, these bad movies and just, like, not understanding how much time has passed between scenes? Like...
Yes. Oh, I know. It's like The Dark Knight Rises, like... Lord knows how much time's gone on. It's the same thing.
Or Catwoman. How long was that? But either way, after they're sleeping together, and she leads over and goes, do you have a picture of Evelyn? I'll try to dress like her. Which, again, now that we know that it was always Evelyn, it's so weird.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, I'm just gonna dress like I was before, I guess, you know? And yeah. It would have been a little bit more interesting if she didn't know. Like, if he was able to reveal to her, like, you are the same. Or Dr. G reveals it at the end that you're actually a clone. I don't even know how you fix it. I'm trying to think of this on the top of my head. It's
I got you. I got, like, three different ideas.
Do it.
So the first one is based off of what you keep saying, which is that she doesn't know that she's a clone.
Yes.
But... he puts two and two together and believes wholeheartedly that she's a clone. But then he has to convince her that that's true.
Yes.
But he's only going off of pure grief and the fact that she, to him, looks like his dead girlfriend. So she is, like, telling him he's crazy, and the movie is kind of skewing it so that you, the audience, are like, oh, this guy's just wacky. I think that that would have really helped, because then you have more conflict between the two leads. Lord knows they couldn't pull it off, but... And then you could have him. He has something to do. He's spending all of his time, like, looking into stuff that Dr. G's doing. He's getting interested in the police investigation. He's trying to figure out if, like... I would say the police really shouldn't be the ones investigating her murder. I think he should be investigating the murder.
Yes.
Because... now that he thinks that she's a clone, he believes that there was foul play done against his poor Evelyn in order to make the clone exist, or make the clone the only one.
Yes.
So he ends up leading back to Dr. G, who essentially gaslights him into thinking that he's crazy.
Exactly. Sorry, really quick. I was just going to mention, in Vertigo, Jimmy Stewart's character is a detective. So I found that kind of parallel, but it's also quite different than this movie. But I just want to mention
that. Well, again, it only is Vertigo when it feels like.
right. It's a weak comparison, to be honest.
It's just another movie, but with random scenes of Vertigo spliced in, but, like, done really poorly.
Facts. Anyway, number two on your options.
Number two is actually my original theory at the beginning of the movie, where I thought that the twist was going to be is the fact that he's a clone the whole time. Because, remember, he left work and he got the kidney transplant, and he comes back and all of a sudden he's terrible at his job. And he develops this obsession with this scientist who helped get him a new kidney. I was thinking that he's a clone, and in, like, his growing state, he saw her and sort of, like, kind of imprinted on her. So it would have been him, like, coming to the slow realization that he's a clone and the real him is actually still in the lab. And that was the salesman guy. Oh. And Dr. G is, like, slowly replacing people just to see if he can get away with it.
Ah, yes.
So she would be, in classic Vertigo fashion, she would be kind of involved because she was kind of told that this was a test and everyone agreed to it. So she was kind of told, like, watch him from a distance, but, like, don't interact with him. So when he starts pulling her into his life, she's trying her best to escape, but she can't. And then he eventually, maybe she also fakes her own death or dies or whatever. And then he kind of has to solve the mystery by himself. But that was kind of my way of looking at it to begin. Because then it at least resolves, like, why does he feel different? Why doesn't he do the things that he used to? Why is he suddenly obsessed with this doctor other than the fact that she's hot? But since, again, that guy is a robot, he has such a cold obsession with her. I thought the twist was going to be he remembered her as a clone and, like, was just, his brain was, like, stuck on her. And he was even confused why he liked her so much.
Ah, I like that. I really like that, actually. That's what I thought, too. I thought he's kind of so boring. I was like, he has to be a robot.
Yeah, he's got to be a robot. He's not a real person.
No, bro, no. I like that idea, though, because that makes him interesting. I mean, Joe is just a bored. He's just nothing. I don't know. It's really sad.
It is. Again, as you mentioned before, there's really nothing for him to do in this movie. I mean, he has, like, that part at the beginning where he's, like, doing his job, but that immediately gets kicked to the wayside as soon as he has girlfriend. Yes. And we just never bring up anything about that again. But the fact that he's sort of obsessed with this girl, I would have loved if it moved into anything. Like, the detective character seems a little bit, like, his role seems expanded from what it should be. Because really, it should be Joe who's, like, poking into this investigation. Because honestly, there is no reason why the cops, from the jump, this one detective is convinced that she was murdered. Like, he barges into Joe's house and is basically just like, hey, we found your semen inside of her during the autopsy. Did you kill her? And he's like, she was killed in a car accident. And he's like, yeah, says who?
Could be anything, my guy. I'm just throwing out all the options. You tell me.
So then he goes and harasses her boss and accuses him of murder. And then he goes and harasses her mother in an indeterminate amount of time later, which, again, why wouldn't you go to the mother first? But whatever.
Yeah.
And then, again, tries to pin the blame on Joe. Like, he's really convinced that Joe killed her. And then he finds this random criminal who got a big payment transfer, and then they went through his things and found out that he had a bunch of money. And, well, it's not a random criminal. It is the guy who was in the car. But all of this, like, behind-the-scenes investigation that, like, you feel like would be interesting to the audience is all designated to this side character who only crops up every so often just to be there for those moments.
Right. Right.
And he is the guy who ultimately kind of deus ex machina's God. Dr. God. But, like, especially at the end where he somehow gets this information out of this criminal, which we don't even know how he figured out who the hit-and-run guy was. We don't know why he decided to check his bank account, aside from the fact that he's apparently incredibly obsessed with proving that this girl that he's never met is murdered. Why wouldn't you give that stuff to Joe? Why wouldn't you have Joe be the one investigating and working his butt off to try to, like, put two and two together? And the cops sit there and go, we did the autopsy and she was hit by a car and died. This is ridiculous.
And I was thinking about it too. Like, yeah, we're talking about the motivation of Joe wanting to reclaim him being the best salesman in the company. You could have really rode with that, especially, like, if he's a rogue. Like, let's say Joe is a normal character, right?
Let's pretend that Joe is played by not a robot.
Okay. Joe is not a robot from the beginning, but let's say Joe is the one that gets murdered, right?
Oh, okay.
And everybody's telling him that he was just in a coma, Yeah, she didn't die. He was just in a coma, right? He wakes up from the hospital. Everybody's like, oh, you're totally fine. You're totally normal, right? And it's actually Evelyn's character trying to convince Joe that he's actually a replica now.
Oh.
That would be super interesting. Because it gives the motivation of, like, somebody in that company, let's say maybe not Dr. G, or somebody with Dr. G is trying to conspire against Joe because he's the top salesman now. And so for Joe's character, like we were saying, him meeting Evelyn, him falling in love is now making him a better salesman now because now he has a reason to kind of live and be successful now. And she's kind of the motivation. And so it would just be so interesting to watch him deny that reality to be with this girl. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
But also, like, you have to find a motivation for her as well to keep it under wraps as well. Right? Like, she could be in the background, right? Like, pretending to not know him at first. Or she... Okay, I got it. She is pretending to be the girl with the tramp stamp to protect Joe. Because she was the one that was being the detective and realized that there's a big corporation. But she doesn't know how to quite say it or reveal it to Joe without getting her in trouble. So, to play detective, she's pretending to be someone else. And Joe's replica found her on accident and she didn't want to meet him. But since she's still in love with him, obviously, even though it might be a clone, she's willing to tag along. And maybe they're both trying to find out what happened to his girlfriend. And then it's revealed later that she is actually still the girlfriend who's now trying to convince him that he died. And these are the people who murdered him. And now he's a replica.
Oh, like, that sounds good.
Yeah, so that's my kind of plot. It's just, you're basically reversing the roles here. Which you still keep the vertigo of the suspense of somebody's got to not know that they're a replica.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It ruins the whole thing. She's like, I'm the same person.
I've got the same brain and spirit. I love the fact that they totally, and between her and Dr. G, they totally pass over the whole do clones have souls thing by just being like, yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's just like being immortal. You just make a new body, stick the soul in there, and cushy.
Not even the same soul. I am literally the same girl you dated a week ago. How's that feel?
Yeah, I died, and now I'm back to life.
It's not even replica. It's like complete and utter, like, clone. Like, I get it. But again, you have to have a motivation for her to be somebody different. What is the point? Why, if she's completely 100% the same, why does she just not go, hey, I actually didn't die. I'm alive. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, what if, I really love your ones, but while we're pitching ideas, what if you had him die? You had the whole movie kind of start the same way where he comes back from the hospital and, you know, now he's like kind of sucking at sales, but he's already dating the doctor.
Yes.
But she is like giving him weird vibes and then she ends up disappearing or dying or whatever.
Yes.
And this other girl shows up. But the twist ending is that Evelyn was dating Joe. Joe died. Yes. And so she made a clone of Joe, like herself, but then she kind of got, she realized how messed up it actually was, so then she disappears and creates her own clone to, like, satiate him in a way, but has, like, gone deep into hiding, and it's those two trying to, like, work out what's going on, but it leads to actually her, who is, like, doing shady stuff on the side, and she's just, like, really upset because he died, and that the whole confrontation scene could instead be her telling them that she tried to play God and it just didn't work and she shouldn't have done it and destroying the lab.
Interesting. It would, yeah, that is so interesting. So it's basically, so she's kind of the villain in a secret way.
Yes, she would be kind of she'd be the antagonist, but in a way that she regrets what she's done.
I think that does work. I mean, like, any way that essentially any way you kind of put the puzzle in a way, whatever gets that reveal that somebody isn't the real thing anymore and makes that actually important and have some weight to it, that's kind of what you're looking for. Like, besides the rest of the movie that has a bunch of problems when it comes to storyline, I think that's where it is missing. Because, like, in Vertigo, it's a big thing to reveal that Madeline is alive again. And it's just like... Yeah. But what's so interesting is that... I'm going to go back to Vertigo because this is the beautiful part about it. Madeline is...
Vertigo is, like, one of the best movies.
Yes, it is insane. So Madeline is alive again. But Madeline that he knows is not... there anymore. And she is, so concept of Vertigo, distortion of reality, right? She is trying to convince him that she is 100% the same that she was. He's trying to convince her that she needs to be the same way that she was, but they're both denying reality together. And it's, yeah, it's insane to watch them both try to distort everything. And the crazy thing about Vertigo, once you see that one, she was accomplice to a murder and try to get away with it, and he's like a stalking psychopath that's willing to do anything to get his way for love or whatever you want to call it. But the whole time, you're rooting for this love because the whole movie makes it so romanticized. And it's just insane when you watch the movie that the fact that these same people that now have gone off the deep end that you hate are the exact same people that you rooted for at the beginning of the movie. And it's just boom.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that the movie definitely suffers from... Maybe James Wan knows a lot more about Alfred Hitchcock theory and is just, like, coming up with different scenes. But they seem to be placed in kind of, like, a random way. As, like, in a way that almost feels like he doesn't understand the impact of, like, where these scenes are supposed to be, how they're supposed to make you feel. Because the characters really don't... Well, they don't have a lot going on in general, but the worst part is like what you said, you don't ever have a moment where you're supposed to look at Joe and go, oh, Joe's gone completely off the deep end. He's doing incredibly scary things with this girl that he's just met who looks like his dead girlfriend of, I want to say, a week.
Yes.
Who's been dead, I want to say, a week. So... yeah, it's a little bit weird that that would happen. And nowhere in the movie is there ever a moment where they go, oh yeah, Joe's a psychopath. I mean, you feel it, but the movie seems to think that this is all a-okay.
Yes.
You shouldn't see this as being creepy, weird, obsessive, bizarre.
Yeah.
Until they're ripping off another scene from Vertigo, where they're like, oh yeah, it's a little creepy. Like, the fact that they play kind of like almost creepy music during the scene where she shows up dressed as Evelyn, where you're like, do you understand what the scene's supposed to represent? But then it doesn't.
Yeah. Like, Joe's not the character to play the guy who's desperate out for love. Like, Joe is just like your typical guy at work that just sees a hot girl and he's just like, hey, yo, I want some action. Like, that's all Joe is. That's fine. But, you know, it doesn't play. That's what we're talking about, the disconnect between the Vertigo scenes that they're trying to reference and the rest of the story, is because when Joe's going crazy and going like, I want you to dress up like this other girl, that's not in his character. That's just not who he is. Like, he's not going to ask that far. You know what I'm saying?
And that's kind of the thing that makes it so weird when you watch it is the... I mean, obviously, again, the actors aren't really, like, the best actors. So there could be more subtext here that we're just not getting. But the fact that you could go some pretty dark places with this premise. Like, obviously, Vertigo has a unique idea in how it kind of plays with obsession and stuff, but you could go a little bit more simplistic with it. You could say he's in love with this girl. They've been dating. All of a sudden she dies, and then he loses it, and she was the only one kind of holding him together. You'd have to, again, he'd have to be a different character. You're right. The Joe that we got isn't good for that, but
yes,
someone who would go mad over that. And then all of a sudden he sees her, but it's not her. And that kind of, like, slow descent into trying to make her into his ex-girlfriend could have been played incredibly terrifyingly.
True. Instead
of kind of awkward and she's mostly into it, but then you realize that she really, like, should have told him up front instead of gaslighting him into thinking she was a different person, but that's neither here nor there.
So I got some crazy, like, ideas up in my head now. Like, I'm going like off the wall. So what if Evelyn, the real Evelyn, died, right?
Yeah.
And he's going through the whole grief. Same old story, right? But Joe this whole time is going to Dr. G, trying to figure out a way to bring a replica of her back to life.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's not the same. But then this other girl that's really in disguise, right? Claudia comes back and she is trying to be like a person that is really nice to Joe there. She's kind of like, hey, look, I know this is kind of weird, but like, if you love her so much, I'll be able to, I just want to support you in trying to bring your girlfriend back to life, right? Mm-hmm. And what if, since she's the scientist, this whole time she's able to bring back a clone of herself, but then the clone murders Joe.
Oh. Okay. And this is a lot of twists and turns.
Yes. And so, because Dr. G, I don't know what the motivation is. Like, I'm trying to, that's as far as I could go was that plot twist. I was trying to think of why she would want to murder Joe. Maybe she's in on this big deal, and maybe Joe is the only person that's trying to stop this big deal from coming because he realized how sketchy it is. And so she's in it with Dr. G because Dr. G is promising her all this money, all this wealth and stuff like that. And yeah, so Dr. G is telling her to basically, Evelyn to cozy up to him and try to convince him not to sabotage his deal. They end up falling in love, right? But then she fake dies, right? And,
okay.
And then her clone, yeah, and then her clone comes back and then murders him. Sheesh. That'd be crazy, but I'm liking motivation for somebody to do something.
I mean, you could always do the whole failed clone thing where it's like the clone comes back but is like different.
It would be interesting to see her be different. Like I don't know, like you're trying to make her character in the movie different, right?
I mean, that's kind of that's what I thought that they were going for was like a different, like she is Evelyn. She's Evelyn's clone. I mean, clones, right? We have those. Mm-hmm. They're real. A clone doesn't really have the same personality as the first person that they were cloned from. Just because you have a clone of somebody doesn't mean that they'll make the same decisions or think the same way. Because what you're doing is you're just cloning the DNA that's already there. You're not, like, taking their memories and putting it into a body, like in this movie. So that's why I kind of assume that when Claudia shows up, she's like an Evelyn who is never got into science and instead pursued acting, which maybe the original Evelyn thought about at some point and then didn't, or, you know, whatever. So she seems like she has her own life and goals and ideas. And the fact that, like, right at the end, as soon as he's like, clones are bad, and she's like, I guess they are. I guess we should go kill the guy who makes the clones. And never once goes, actually, I'm a clone and I feel pretty dece, so.
Yeah, it's just weird for her to be like, oh, I need to stop the very thing that is living, which is me, who's telling you to stop me. It's a very weird thing to say.
Especially when she said multiple times that her mind and her spirit are the same, and she keeps referring to herself as brought back to life. Like, if anything, she should at least be sympathetic to Dr. G, instead of just immediately being like, cloning's evil, because her boyfriend was like, cloning is evil.
Right? It's just like, hey, well, I guess my boyfriend is right, and I like him a lot, so maybe I'm bad. It's not even
maybe,
that. It's like,
yeah, maybe he's right. Maybe I should have died forever.
It's not even that. It was more of like, I don't want anybody else to be cloned but me.
Yeah, just me. I'm special. It's such a random ass ending. Just like this bizarre moment. Like, okay, yeah, he not only does he have the secret underground lab, which is new information that you don't get till the end of the movie, but also she knows where it is. And also he embezzled a bunch of money from the company to build it. And then also he's Dr. God now. And also he has a line of wines.
I know. He's like, hey, yo, get that plug with that wine, though. Dr. G.
Oh, like, this is my G wines. That scene is the best scene in the movie. When he's drinking the wine and they're trying to confront him super woodenly. Like, honestly, Dr. G is, like, probably the best. I don't know if he's the best actor, but like he at least is hamming it up and putting on a performance.
Oh, he's giving something at least.
So they both show up and just stand there like cardboard together, and they're like, cloning is evil. And he's just like, hey, have you tried out my new G wines? I'm trying to get them in restaurants worldwide. Okay.
Yo, that is wild. I have to say, we have to bring this up. The green screen CGI, whatever you want to call it.
The green screen.
Bro, it's wild. The audio is so bad. It's so bad in some places. The bird, shout out to the bird. Can we get a round of applause for the bird?
Oh yeah, yeah, round of applause for bird. Woo! The bird sucked. Because there's no audio. Okay. Fair play. It's a budget movie. They have, like, no microphones, as far as I can tell, except for in the ADR booth, which is used very sparingly. But there's this bird that I assume James Wan owns himself, and it just, like, screeches and immediately, like, clips the audio, so all you hear is, like, in both ears every time it screams. It's so awful. And they keep having conversations in the house with the bird, because that's where Joe lives. Yes. And every time somebody talks, it makes a high-pitched squealing noise, which would just fry your ears. It's the worst thing.
It's painful. It hurts. And you know it's coming too, and it's just like, oh, and like... You're wearing headphones and it just hurts your ears.
Oh, so bad.
It's crazy. Yeah, so, I mean, as a romance movie goes, you know, I don't even know.
You're not gonna give it the benefit of the doubt as a romance movie.
I don't even know. It's what a robot would think love is.
Between a robot and a clone. See, like, here's another thing that it could have been. He could have been a robot, and she could have been a clone.
Oh.
And they have to work it out together.
I love that. Robot clone love. I mean, their acting was awful. Bless them, whatever they're doing. Their acting was just, it's the worst I've ever seen. It's the worst I've ever seen.
I love the fact that she could never remember any of her lines.
She's just like, oh, hi, I'm a doctor, yeah.
I deal with biology and organs and...
Wow.
Like...
That's really cool. Yeah.
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 What do you do in your, like, job?
Oh, I don't know. My kidney's making me suck at my job.
Okay. So. Was there, like... Why was there never any clarification about why he started sucking at his job? Why was that a plot point that was just instantly dropped? That made me so mad. I kept waiting. I'm like, this is apparently important. It like starts off, the entire thing is him getting yelled at by his boss about how much he sucks now. And he's like, I don't know. I make all the cold calls. I get everything together. I just can't ever make the sale. And then there's a scene later where Dr. G calls him up with a big sale and keeps asking him, as if like prompting him over and over again, are you okay? Can you handle it? Are you okay? Like he's leading him on, like, to make him admit that he can no longer close the deal. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. I wonder what's wrong with him. But no, he closes that deal, and then his boss is immediately like, wow, you did such a good job, yay. And it's just never brought up again. Like, what was that?
What made him in a funk? I don't know. It's assumed that it was the kidney, but why would it be the kidney? Like,
it doesn't... I mean, maybe it's because he was, like, hot for the doctor. Like, he saw her at the lab and then was like, wow, I love her, and so, like, I can't do sales anymore. Like, it just, I don't know. That's my only theory, because it doesn't make any sense.
It could be as simple as that. For some reason, that frustrated me the most was not knowing why he wasn't good at sales.
Yeah, because they have that whole scene where he's getting yelled at by his boss about it, too.
Yes. And he's really, he's getting, it laid it on him, just like, bam, and he's just like, okay. Is he ever good at sales again besides that one call? We don't know.
No, because he makes that one call, and then the boss is like, wow, you sold a million units or whatever.
Yes.
And you're back on top, and you should tell everyone else how you make these sales. And then he, instead of being like, yeah, this one client, like, one of the doctors, like, knew me and whatever. He just goes, I make all the cold calls, I follow up all the leads, and you gotta know that the computer chip is, like, down in price right now, so everybody's gonna be buying.
And none of them else are, like, questioning that. The one girl was like, hey, probably because you're sleeping around with the hot scientist, I hear, you know what I mean? And that's as far
I didn't think that was really going to be the solution, but apparently that was really the solution.
Apparently it was. I mean, maybe it's more nuanced than we thought. Maybe we gotta dig a little deeper.
Oh yeah, there's definitely, like, there's gotta be layers upon layers in this movie that we're just, like, not touching because we're, you know, too stupid to really understand the genius of it.
I'm ready for the 4-hour edition. I feel like a lot of scenes were cut from this movie.
For sure, yeah. Like, scenes of figuring out how much time had passed. Where the detective is actually, like, getting the information that he presents to people.
Yeah.
Scenes where we get to see Dr. G shake his arms ecstatically for another 5 minutes.
Yes! Ah, it's alive! I love that part.
See, if that was in Transylvania 65,000, that would have been a 5-minute scene.
Yep. Again, we're going crazy. We're not crazy. We're going crazy. Not going crazy. Shout out to them. Yeah, that's all I got to say. That's a wild movie. It's wild.
Yeah.
If one day you're like, $8 to spare and I want to watch people act really badly and try to simulate love from 2005... I might have the movie for you.
I might just have it. I mean, there's probably cheaper movies that can do similar things, but gosh, if you ever want to see, like, some incredible green screen shooting and also know what it's like to watch a movie without any microphones that are used, yep, that's the one.
This is your movie.
This is it.
And remember, never fall in love. Just kidding.
period. Okay.
Yeah, period. No, I was going to say, never follow a girl too close in your car. You could run her over. That's my warning. Yeah. That's my warning.
I was kind of hoping that he would have accidentally killed her when he was, like, stalking her. That would have been really funny.
Same. That would have been a plot twist that early in the movie. Just bang, done.
Just over. Also, girl says no, just ask her out, like, 5 more times and make it more pathetic each time, and eventually she'll say yes.
Yes, that's what I learned. Like, when she says absolutely no, that means just call her the next day.
Follow her to her house, and then ask her. Follow her in your car, and then ask her.
Call her up and say, hey, my heart needs a transplant. Can you help me out, sweetie bun? Start spewing that out there. You'll be good.
Yeah, make sure you figure out where she works. Call her during work hours. And then keep her on the line with talks about how much your heart hurts and how you need a new one.
Yep. And when she says, oh, I'm actually super busy, say, you're not that busy. Not busy enough to take me on a date. Works every time. Let me tell you.
Works every time. Every time. That was the moral of this story. Just badger women.
Look how far.
I can't believe he did it twice. He did it with her, and then he did it with her clone. Like, this guy will not leave this woman alone. Not even after she's dead.
Bro. The Rizzler, bro. He's got the game to boot.
Well, you know, don't have those relationships this Valentine's Day. Have happier ones that are not as robotic.
Yeah. Tell the person you love that you love them. And if it's not a significant other, just tell somebody that you care about them. Like you. I care about you. You're great.
Aw, so. I care about you too, Gabe.
Aw, thanks.
It's fun always having these moments.
Yeah, so. Happy Valentine's Day, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.